If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
What's up, you guys? Welcome to Fightful. I am Sean Ross Sapp. It's August 27th, 2025. This is your Fightful AEW post-show review. And we are talking AEW at the ECW Arena, 2300 Arena. Alex, where there were protesters from the union there who apparently did not get the memo that it is a long time 2300 Arena tradition that people do not get paid.
Yeah, I seem to remember a certain guy starting that trend back in the 90s, but I can't remember his name. Yeah.
I tweeted that and Francine said, oh, he went there. Oh my God. But we're going to talk about the show. Leave a thumbs up on this video, subscribe, all that good stuff. We have lots of goodies here on Fightful. The shorts tab, check it out. The videos tab, check it out. But let's go ahead and talk about AEW. Get your super chats and humper chats in here on YouTube. We are streaming on a billion other platforms right now. But check us out by using humperchats.com if you're watching on one of those other platforms. But Alex, I loved, as this residency started, the aesthetic and dynamic of 2300 Arena. Tony Khan was an admitted ECW geek, ECW fan. I say that with affection here. And there were a lot of odes to ECW tonight. Mm-hmm. The body slam, which a lot of people say, didn't they do that on NXT? Mm-hmm. Buddy, I bet you anything that over a week ago, Darby said, hey, do you remember Bam Bam Bigelow and Spike Dudley? I want to do that, except I want nobody to catch me. Type of thing. You had Tony and Mina talking about the Kimono Wanalea spot where she danced atop the rooftops. You had the entrance, which I thought was a magnificent aesthetic. The gates. Anybody who watched ECW TV back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
The gates. Now, ECW holds such a uniquely special place in my heart. As a little kid, I did not get to see a lot of ECW until they hit TNN. But the little bit I got was on like Raw whenever Rob Van Dam would show up. And I thought he was the coolest guy on the planet. So I could not wait for ECW on TNN, to the point to where I love that era so much. I went to my friends at Toy Vomit and found that they had a Blu-ray of the actual TNN recordings, not the network stuff. Wow. Complete with music, complete with ECW hotline plugs. It's like, guess who's screwing who backstage in WCW? 1-900-RUN-4-ECW. And I'm like, damn, man. If I like post a tweet that somebody is like, a little ring rust, people are like, how dare you? But I've ranted for a number of minutes, Alex, but ECW's presence was hugely felt tonight.
It was indeed. AECW. It was it's a hard one to chant, but I feel like it works. I think this was really well done. It is, man, I know it's they're in residency here, and they were in places before, but it is always fun that first time you see a brand new venue for AEW, how they've set it up, where the people are, the ramp, how that works, and are there any fun little like nooks and crannies where people can be doing stuff? It looked great. They were obviously pulling out all the stops. I feel like they thought there's no room for to take, you know, the post pay-per-view Wednesday off, considering the next pay-per-view is in 3 weeks. Like, you have to keep your foot on the gas moving forward. I think for the most part, they really nailed it, at least all the story beats for sure.
Yeah. And I mean, with WWE coming for AEW the way that they are, like,
yeah,
got to keep your foot on the gas. WWE is hot right now, and they are trying to eliminate their competition. Eloquent, my good friend, says there were like 1,000 people, but it sounded like 10K in there. Well, that's the beauty, again, of these small venues. The sound is going to be better. Although I don't know if it was so loud that Dax couldn't hear himself, or if
the
mic didn't work. Because definitely all of those mics worked.
Yes.
Us.
Yeah. I'm wondering if it was one of those things, if it's patched into the truck, but not into the PA system. And that can be very disconcerting. But I mean, once they got it back on track, I will fully cop to not recognizing during Forbidden Door that he was pinned by the illegal man. But
yeah,
and I would have absolutely never known and let it go and been like, well, you know, Brody just new champions. But I love that Dax is such a stickler for the rules, because you know he is. That it was like, somebody out there is going to review the tape, and they're going to need some kind of story.
Yes.
Where we're talking about it. We have to address it. And I love that about Dax. And I love that it was basically like, I'm blaming the referee. And the referee's like, well, yeah, but I didn't see it. And the referee's just in final. And then Stokely's like, I'm going to beat you up, Paul Turner. And then Adam Copeland's music hits. So
we had a lot on FightfulSelect.com. Please subscribe. Just $5.99 a month for all the exclusive news that we report about the FTR, Copeland Christian, MVP, Hurt Syndicate, bonanza there. But FTR were trying to bully Paul Turner into allowing or to reversing the decision and giving them the AEW tag titles, which isn't even a thing he can do to that degree.
No.
But Cope and Christian come out and run them off, and Christian, you know, gets his licks in and then is like, Dax, Cash, I understand that you all have fathers. And Cope was like, no, we're not doing that. And then I can't remember what it was FTR did, or the crowd was like encouraging.
I was like, come on, no, let him do it. Like, whoa, a bunch of sickos. And he gives the mic back to Christian.
Christian's like, those bitches dead. This worked for me. This worked for me pretty well.
Everything you've been wanting since, as long as I've known you. For 9 years, you've been wanting this bit. And you finally get it.
Buddy, we're getting Peter. Like, man, Peter Griffin versus the chicken is the only angle WWE knows now.
That's right. It's the only one they got. It's
the monkey's paw.
I like back 9 years ago when you were still first, like, I need a Sting and Luger tag team where one guy is the baby face, the other guy is a dick, but they have to work together and they both love each other and they both work against these guys. I need it. I gotta have it. When you first pitched that to me 9 years ago, the idea that it would take 9 years and that the two guys would be Edge and Christian is crazy.
Who seemed about as likely as Sting and Luger actually doing it themselves at that point.
True. That is so true.
And at one point, I think that Sting returned before any of them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
To be fair.
Yeah.
But I've wanted this for a long time. I think it's such a natural dynamic. And I'm really happy. Really, really happy about that and the way that it went. And I think that FTR are perfect foils, along with Stokely in doing that.
Yeah, they the all out match, like just said, we're doing it.
Yes.
So it's that's the one that's where it's going from. I again, I appreciate them addressing the problem with the finish there, the little snafu. But I also appreciate them not doing next week, FTR versus Brodido, and we're going to do it, and we're going to see who's really the champion. Just, we know what the match is at All Out. So let's just get to that without having to do all that stuff. I appreciate them that Dax and Cash, in character, would want to address that. But I also appreciate them just saying, yeah, but we're not doing that, though. I like both of those things.
So, we've got Orion Ben saying, say, Dax and Cash, I hear you have dads, with the K-dot face. Tom LaValle also says, hey, Cash, hear you have a dad. Bryce, what do my fellow sickos? Besides that, you guys noticed Cash and the guy with his FedEx uniform looking what they were about to squabble on the rampway. Other than, are the tag titles out of the door? So, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me to see FTR end up winning the tag titles between now and then, to be honest with you. It wouldn't surprise me at all. But, like, Cash arguing and getting in the face of a fan was also very ECW. It was very, very reminiscent of
very
such.
Very ECW, yeah.
Which I really, good, really liked. Just loved that. Love for Boost says, 2300 is prime for an Eddie Kingston return. I mean, I think that makes an awful lot of sense.
That would be a great place to do it for sure. Like that place would come unglued more than maybe any other venue. Like that place with that history, Eddie Kingston's the perfect guy for them.
And plenty of time to get it squared away.
Yeah.
Chi-Town Spurs says, I think that's the best post pay-per-view Dynamite they've ever done. I mean, listen, they've had some good ones back in the day, but like, a lot of times I feel like they don't appropriately follow up with the right amount of heat. And I thought they did a fantastic job tonight.
Yes, they did. I want to address one minor thing that it caught me off guard. When Copeland was like, at All Out in Toronto, it's going to be CNC versus FTR. And I was like, CNC, the Music Factory? I felt like that guy on that Conan meme. Like that's I did not realize that there was a different CNC. The only CNC I know is the one that's going to make me sweat. That's the only one I know. I had that song, the single, on both CD and cassette back when I was in middle school. I sweat. They made me sweat and I sweated. Love that song.
I mean, like, it's very funny because a lot of people look at them and they're like, oh my god, they. Like Flash in the Pan, one hit. Well, they had like a bunch of like top five hits.
They were very successful.
Yes. Very, very successful in that brief amount of time. Booty McNasty says, what an effing episode. Best episode of AEW I've seen. The pacing was intense. Went an extra 20 minutes on cardio without noticing it. Lots of new directions for everybody. Uh-oh. Mm. Well, if you want a new direction, Blue Chew and the Code Fightful.
Yeah.
Excited to be at All Out in a few weeks. Joel Pearl will be there covering that for us. I'm really hoping they do a segment there called Oot and a Boot at All Oot with Alicia Atoot.
Nice.
I think that would be good. She's Canadian. Get it?
Yeah. No, and also they're known to say to pronounce the vowels differently than Americans.
Yes, that's the joke. That is the joke. Booty McNasty. I mean, you were so pumped up that you sent a USD for every extra minute on cardio you did. First off, Booty McNasty, without sending a super chat, what kind of cardio you do? I'd be on those stairs all the time, loving it. Been watching that Dallas Cowboys documentary, Alex. Very good. It's very good. It's got me pumped up. But yeah, this episode. I got to be honest, like a lot of times I go into these episodes with not a high expectation after a pay-per-view. And it was it tugged on my heartstrings in the right ways, like the reuniting, and a lot of the story beats were there. And again, the odes to ECW, yeah, which again, I hope continue. I hope there are little Easter eggs all throughout these shows for the next several weeks. Like I'm very, very excited to see that. Yeah. And Booty McNasty, I'm glad that you enjoyed it. And listen, hopefully you've caught a shower and you don't have like a McNasty booty, but John Moxley defeated Daniel Garcia. Listen, my review of John Moxley continues to be the same every week. Like he served his time at the top. He helped coronate a new old champion that has, it is the right person to lead. He got his rematch. They did it on TV. It was good. And then he moved on, and now he's having, it's almost like he's proving a point, saying, I'm going to open up every single show with a slapper.
Yes.
And that's how we'll do it. And he's been winning it, and it doesn't feel like a John Moxley, Hogan brother type of thing. He's going out there and having killer matches. He should be beating these people, all due respect to Daniel Garcia, but he's also giving a lot to these guys as well.
Oh, yeah. No, Garcia was getting his ass handed to him for a while, but I love the Garcia comeback. Because it always feels like he is seconds from unconsciousness, and he says, "You know what? Screw it!" Like he always feels like I'm probably gonna lose this match, but I'm giving it every last ounce that I have in me to come back from this. And then he gets this close to winning, and he loses. And that is the perfect thing to build to what we all assume is coming up. Apparently, he cut a really great promo backstage that was released to AEW socials right after the show. I haven't seen it yet. But if it's what I think is going toward, like, this is the ultimate, I am so tired of coming so close and losing. Like, it's the, like, that is the, pretty much, like, if it's not the number one reason for a babyface to turn heel, like, out of the blue, like, it's at number two or three. The idea of, I just can't seem to win the big one wrestling like I always do, maybe it's time for a change. Like, I think that they've done a great job over the course of the way he was in the first C2. Then he wins the TNT championship and he goes into C2 again, thinks I'm going to get redemption. And he loses a few matches there. And he never really gets going in his TNT title run after the C2. And then he loses the title to Adam Cole, never really gets a chance to get it back from him because tragically Adam Cole has to go away. And so now like he's getting to this point where what do I gotta do? Obviously what I'm doing isn't working. Frankly, I was kind of surprised they didn't just have him attack Nigel after the match at Forbidden Door. But now it becomes the waiting game. Now it becomes to see when he actually follows through with it.
So, first off, Booty McNasty, I am very glad that you do have a clean booty. And shout out to the Nordic Bike. But I did watch the Daniel Garcia promo, and it is fantastic. It's very good. He's saying... Good. He doesn't beat me. Nobody beats me. I beat myself because I make mistakes. And
the pile driver into the sharpshooter, and then he put himself in prime position to be small packaged out of the sharpshooter. Like he was doing a little bit too much flair there, and he put himself in that position. He did it to himself. I think it's great that not only is he recognizing his flaws, but they're actually accurate flaws within the storytelling and the moves of the match. Great stuff.
And they argued a little bit after the match as well. You saw them at ringside like kind of pointing at each other. And Michael says Mox recruiting Garcia. Mox has been recruiting a lot of people, it seems like, because he finally found out that what he has isn't enough anymore. So you see him bringing in Gabe Kidd. You see him talking to Chris Statlander, which I loved that spot on Collision where Chris Statlander was trying to get her money and John Moxley's like, oh, I'll go get it for you. And then he did. That was such a, like, you don't see that in wrestling. Gane Death says Garcia did an amazing parking lot promo. Put that on Collision on Saturday. Put it on TV. Tom LaValle says, Death Riders wave to Gabe, Danny, Stat, and maybe Shayna. I mean, that's what I would like to see. I would like to see Chris, like, sort of turn away from the Death Riders and be like, no, not doing that. And then Shayna pops up, and then you've got Willow, Chris, Shayna.
That's Marie. My dream, man. That's my dream. Is that, like, what when we finally get that? Obviously, it's going to be a tournament. When we finally get that tournament to crown a brand new women's, the very first ever women's tag team champions, that it comes down to in the very end, Willow and Stat versus Marina and Shayna. It's just, I need it with my whole soul. I need it.
C. Delgado says, was hoping that hallway Mox walked through during his entrance would have pictures of Sabu and New Jack hanging on the walls. I would imagine there will be a lot of Easter eggs over the next few weeks. How many weeks are they there? Two or three?
I thought it was three, but maybe.
Is it all the way up till Toronto? Is it? I think it might be.
It might be just the might be like, oh, you know what I think it is? I think it's two Dynamites, two Collisions, and Death Before Dishonor in the middle. I think that's what it is. So they got five shows there.
Oh, buddy. It is a lot. No, it's way more. It is tonight's Dynamite. It is Death Before Dishonor. It is this weekend's Collision. It is September 3rd and 6th Collision and Dynamite. And then it is September 10th.
Wow.
Dynamite, and then a special Thursday Collision September 11th. So,
wow.
Yeah, and then they're doing a special Dynamite the week before All Out in London, Ontario.
Wow.
There you go. That is pretty fantastic. Cool. So then Wheeler Yuta cuts a promo, and he was getting heat the whole time. He's really turned into someone that is able to pick up that heat very, very well. And they keep him out there a whole, like a real long time.
Yeah.
And it was
funny because he goes out there and he says, I got some things I'm going to say, and this show will not proceed until I've said what I'm going to say. So here's what I'm going to say. And then he gets interrupted and he never says what he's going to say. I really want to know what Wheeler Yuta was going to say. We'll never know, but I wonder what it was going to be.
But Hook is back. He's had these really, really cool vignettes, different vignettes as well. Now, there are still some questions to be answered, which we will get to. But as far as what we saw tonight, he came out. He no longer has the Action Bronson theme. Instead, he has a song by J.J. Johansson called Tell the Girls I Am Back in Town. It's from 1996. I am going to wager.
It sounds like it's 1946.
Yes.
I love it.
Yeah, so it's like a very like whiskey song.
It's got Girl from Ipanema vibes. You know, it's like like it's really, I love it.
And perhaps another ode to ECW, it playing while the whole beatdown goes on.
Yeah.
Which I love it because it's such a low key song. That him doing this violent shit while this guy is singing works really well. Had a lot of people asking about the Action Bronson thing. So I'll ask you guys, please subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. Have some story up on that. But what I'll say is the decision to move on from the Action Bronson song was like months ago. They were getting creative. If you go back and look in January, creative on bringing him out without using that song. And people are like, was it because of the argument? Was it because of the interview, et cetera, et cetera? I encourage you guys, subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. We have more on that. But I'm just glad Hook's back, man. I'm glad he's back. And I want to know what was up with the ops and him. I need that question answered.
Right. I need that question answered. But I appreciate that they're not doing that yet because – the guys who put him out were not the ops. The guys who put them out, put him out were the Death Riders. And he got revenge on Claudio kind of by hitting him with a golf club, I think, in that match back in, was that back at Double or Nothing? Like it was a long time ago.
It was a while back. He's been out a while.
And then comes back and he takes out, Wheeler Yuta. He's debuting what looked like a Superman forearm. Like, yeah, was the good. Superman punch was cool. I liked it. He got a lot of velocity on it. It looked like he really threw his entire body into the punch.
Looked different. And I mean, one of the things that made his dad so special is he took a suplex. He specialized in a suplex, but he did ones you had never seen before. You had never seen these in American pro wrestling. So doing things that make you stand out will go a long way. He doesn't have to cut a bunch of promos. He's got that unique enigma to him that will make him successful. And boys at FightfulSelect.com, please subscribe, reported recently that he actually signed a new multi-year deal last year. A great piece of news. Tony Khan revealed after the tapings that Taz will be immortalized in the rafters of the 2300 arena this Saturday. And man, that one again hits me right here, man, because like there's a lot of wrestlers that I really liked, but you know, when you're a kid, I'll give you a good example. I have a couple baseball bats back here. I have told you they are from Bip Roberts, a person who I am the only person whose favorite player is Bip Roberts, but he was like 5'7". And when I was little, I never imagined I was going to get taller than 5'7". Right.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I like the little guy. Taz was diminutive, but if there's one thing that I ever thought that Vince McMahon said that I thought was smart, he called Taz ECW sawed off monster. And I'm like, that's a badass gimmick. That's a, that is a hell of a gimmick where he's a lot smaller and you can't do shit to him. Mm-hmm. How are you going to beat up a fire hydrant, bro? Yeah. You can't beat up a fire hydrant.
Can't beat up a fire hydrant.
You can't.
And, try it. I encourage all of you at home who are like, I could beat up a fire hydrant.
Try to find a fire hydrant.
Go find a fire hydrant and punch it. As hard as you can.
Punch it.
I bet you can't knock out the fire hydrant.
If you knock out the fire, if you do knock out the fire hydrant, free Fightful Select.
If you knock out the fire hydrant, picks or it didn't happen. That's what I'm going to say.
He's incredible. He's the reason I took an amateur wrestling class for the first time. Because I was like, oh, well, I want to know how to do that. Not knowing that I couldn't just heave and suplex people with capture suplexes. Just really, really adore his work. I also adore NordVPN.com/Fightful. Let me tell you, buddy, be sailing the high seas with NordVPN.com/Fightful. We got Clash in Paris this week. You can change your virtual location to Paris. Log on to Netflix and you'll be like, wee. And I'm not talking about a pig, my friends. It's NordVPN.com/Fightful. Get 2 years plus 4 months extra. And it's like a couple bucks a month. You might be like, man, there are so many services. There's the cock. There's Netflix. There's ESPN. There's CW. There's USA. How about you just get Netflix? You get NordVPN.com/Fightful. You change your virtual location. You got access to all that. Maybe you want access to AEW without commercials and you want to subscribe to AEW Plus. It's really nice, by the way. Maybe you want pay-per-views at a much more affordable price. NordVPN has it. Maybe you're traveling to Toronto or one of these other places. Maybe you're going, I don't know, Saudi in January. Maybe you're making a trip to Saudi for the Rumble. Stay in tune with all your favorites with NordVPN.com/Fightful. I'm using it for football, man. Listen, football, I am changing my virtual location and checking out those in-market games. But here's the secret. I will be in every single market because I'm changing that thing around. Got it on all my devices, all my operating systems, NordVPN.com/Fightful. What we're telling you is just on the basic tier, a couple bucks a month. Then when you step up, it gets crazy. It gets crazy. I don't even know how they're making money on this. NordVPN.com/Fightful. Really love that service. They're great.
They're great.
Brian more or less says, thought the song sounded old. I'm older than it. It's from 96. From 96, I believe. I'm pretty sure it's 96. I looked. have an MJF promo. He talks about how selfish the AEW fans are. Mm-hmm. And he says that he bled and they chanted, "You deserve it." Hangman bled. They chanted cowboy shit. Now, an important note is that Tony Khan afterwards, certainly listened to the fans after AEW Forbidden Door. And he said, no more are we doing the cash in element. You got to declare a week ahead. And he even said, you know, I don't necessarily want to rip off what somebody else is doing. Mm-hmm. So I think that works too. I think this is a great indication of listening to the audience. And I thought this promo was very good as well.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah. I like that he basically said, well, okay, so now I can't utilize the contract the way, like, I think he does have a point. The way that it was utilized last year, the last guy who won it before MJF got to use it a certain way. They didn't change the rules before he won it. Like, when he won the contract, he had reason to assume the rules for the contract would be the same, and now they're changing it on him. I understand why he would be pissed. I also like that he's like, okay, first I have to light Mark Briscoe on fire. And after I do that, then I will pick a date, and then I will decide I'm going to cash in my contract for that date, and I'll take the title off of you, Hangman. But first, I need to light Mike Briscoe on fire.
Yes. I thought this was just really good. I thought this was definitely the right way to go about this as well. MJF has his hand in a lot of buckets right now. He's still got Mystico. So he's got a lot going on right now. But I thought this was fantastic. I thought this was a great promo. With Chris Statlander and Harley Cameron defeating Penelope and Megan, I'll tell you what is helping out the lesser experience in the ring, Penelope and Harley. They are also working with a couple of really, really great bases that can allow them to do a lot of different things. There was this throwing stunner that Penelope did where Megan just caught her and threw her.
I like that.
There was, I don't know if it's an inverted powerbomb, because the inverted powerbomb, you go, the legs are around the body, but
yeah.
I think it was Statlander had her up on her shoulders to do the old atomic whip.
Yeah.
But Harley brings her and drags the opponent face down. It was really good.
She did like a sling blade to Penelope's legs, which then pendulums her down face first into the thing. And I love that Taz was like, I don't even know what to call that. That was like some crazy ass pendulum gimmick. And in the pendulum. Tradition, in the tradition of Harley Cameron calling her finishing move, her finishing move, I hope she insists on calling that tandem move the crazy ass pendulum gimmick, because I think it would be perfect.
That is perfect. That is great. Willow ends up making the save after this as well. And
that was weirdly timed.
Mm-hmm.
She slid in when Stat had the advantage during the post-match brawl, and Stat stopped. And Megan got out of the ring, and Willow was like, yay! And I was like, did you mean to go in there a little later or earlier? Because it didn't, the finish was odd. Because it wasn't, Stat and Willow are okay with each other. I mean, they'd have to be, because they were just in an eight-woman tag. So, Harley Cameron playing Peacemaker, I like. I anticipated... maybe the use of Jamie Hayter here, war run-ins, extra people, so that we can get Jamie Hayter saving the day, so we can say, okay, firmly, this is our team, this is your team. Maybe not announce Blood and Guts tonight, but like maybe you announce it next week, but we know for sure who the five are, because you have five bad girls and five good girls standing on opposite ends of the arena pointing at each other. You know, I thought we might get doing that, but.
Yeah, listen, I really want these women's tag titles.
for sure.
John Alba filled in today on The Hump, and we discussed that at length. We have the Mercedes Moné celebration, which is largely just a promo on Alex Windsor. Mm-hmm. She says she's not worried about Alex Windsor.
Yeah.
But said, maybe she's just mad because her man was dancing all up on me. She's like, well... Love it when you do the CEO dance. And then she said, but hey, maybe if Alex keeps on acting the way she is, she'll end up in a hospital bed next to him. And I thought that was pretty good promo line. She also absolutely triggered people that would be triggered by such a thing by saying, I've got 9 titles. Ultimo Dragon had 10. I want to shatter that.
Right. Sure. This also felt really odd to me.
Well, yeah, because she's attacking our friend, Allie Albright. Allie, I meant to send you back a message, but I was working, okay?
Yeah.
But, yeah.
You set up the table with all the titles on it for an in-ring interview and talk about how I want all the titles and nobody can beat me. And you don't have somebody interrupt to say I'm coming after your title or you can't take mine or anything like that. Like, it just felt like it was on a show that was otherwise jam-packed with stuff that like really meant something. This felt like it was just a segment for segment's sake. I thought the promo was fine, but usually AEW doesn't do anything just to have people talk. If you're going to do a promo, they're going to set up a match. They're going to further a rivalry. They're going to set up a storyline. This was just like, I don't like Alex Windsor, which lets us know at least Alex Windsor is going to be the person. Excuse me. Sorry. I don't mean to disrespect her. Alex Windsor is going to be her next challenger one-on-one, probably at All Out, but that they didn't actually have any kind of interaction here, I thought was a little odd.
Yeah. And listen, I would imagine that both she and Will are home this week. Yeah.
I would also anticipate that as well.
Volob says, but disappointed that did not kiss was not a part of the video's thumbnail. I actually told Alex I was thinking about like just making our thumbnails now parodies. Because listen, doing things the right way gets you absolutely nothing.
That's true.
In wrestling coverage. True. It really doesn't. Like,
yeah.
If the aggregators don't take all your shit, then the clickbait people will take all your shit. Like, there's very little reward for doing things the right way, besides the wonderful community we have cultivated here. So we have Mark Briscoe announcing a new baby Briscoe and challenging Kyle Fletcher. Speaking of, Don Callis' family defeated Brodito and Jet Speed in an all-star tag match. Brody King was white hot. I love that he assisted in the triple flips. But my favorite part of this was Okada and Takeshita just slowly teasing. They're both in, and Okada's like trying to big bro a G1 winner. Like, I know you just got back from the G1. I remember my first one that I won. Very cute. Come on, kid. Let me do my job. Mm-hmm. Woo! I'm excited.
This was obviously all 8 guys in the ring can, work and are great. And the match was a lot of fun, but the thing that comes out of this that everyone will now remember is this is where the feud began. Takeshita he won the G1. In his mind, he's going to be the New Japan champion, and the IWGP heavyweight champion. So
at KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Okada basically throwing his weight around, being like bully on the block, No, we're not doing that. I don't think they ever liked each other to begin with. Like, when Callis brought in Okada, like, Takeshita was the most not down with it of anybody in the family. So now it's like, okay, I don't like that you think you're top dog around here. We're not doing that. I also like that Okada is like, well, shut up, kid. There's all of that is so excellent. And I think that it probably boils under the surface for quite a while before you have if you're gonna do this, honestly, wouldn't be terrible to have Takeshita beat Okada in the C2 this year. Like that's the way to do it. To like
in the C2, or I feel like the C2 will be. I think like, I feel like it will no longer be.
You okay?
For the title, I feel, and it's just, you know, my hunch. I feel like that's the prize, is getting to go for the new unified championship.
I love that idea. That's what I wanted it to be from the beginning. But the way it has been is that the person who is the champion defends it within the tournament. If they go a different route, I'm all for it.
So do you want to hear what my route is that a lot of New Japan purists are surely going to hate?
Yeah.
Takeshita has said that he doesn't want to win the IWGP title at Wrestle Kingdom. He wants to carry it in. So I say he wins it. Then he wins the Continental Classic. And then the main event at the Tokyo Dome. If you want to be AEW and offer the exactly. Wow. IWGP and AEW unified.
Wow.
I feel like that would put a lot of...
will be very, very upset by that.
Of course. Of course. Two people that are not... I mean, Takeshita is contracted, but listen,
yeah.
Like...
Yeah.
Okada coming back and working the Tokyo Dome. Come on, man.
Yeah.
Come on, man. And then further establishing... And King of the North mentions Takeshita title challenge set for Power Struggle. Luis says... I'm not okay with that. Why would Tony give New Japan that huge match? Because they're partners. That's why. Why would Tony allow Mystico versus MJF in CMLL instead of All In, where that could have moved a lot?
Because they're actually partners and not in control of the other thing that they have a working relationship with.
And I understand that there are a lot of people that religiously watch New Japan that would hate that. And I get it. And I completely understand it. I completely understand it. And somebody says, but the Unified Championship is a 20-minute time limit. I hate that. I hate that. But you know what's not? The IWGP Championship.
There you go.
So that's your way of getting around that one.
That's your way of doing that.
Because that's what they did with the Continental and the...
Yeah, sure.
International.
And all it has to be is Tony Khan says, because it's being challenged within the New Japan, we have decided to forego the 20-minute time limit. Both competitors have signed off on it. So now it can go 48 minutes. You know what I mean? Like, and everybody's like, okay, cool.
Well, listen, I'm going to get in my boy Toriano's ear, because FightfulSelect.com, please subscribe, guys, reported this week that Toru Yano has gained responsibility and influence within New Japan Pro Wrestling. There you go.
Okay.
Yeah. Good for him. Mm-hmm. So Hangman gets interrupted by Don Callis, but lots of stuff said. He's like, thank you, Will Ospreay. Don Callis said, you took that title from me one time and it's because I had somebody weak. And then, you know, Gang Wars. But listen,
yeah,
Gang Wars had a satisfying ending. They didn't kiss, but by God, Hangman and Kenny Omega. What? What did you say no to?
Yeah.
What?
What do you mean?
Why are you saying yeah? You said no. What are you talking
about? What did I say no?
You want a delay.
Gang Wars.
Shut up. Hangman and Omega reunited and they hugged Alex.
I thought it was a magic moment.
It was fantastic.
It was great. It was really cool. I liked that it was like everyone knew what it meant.
Yes.
That it was this really cool moment because like they used to be a tag team. The tag team fell apart. Then we have to have Hangman climb the ranks to dethrone Kenny. And then they like never really worked it out between them, even though Kenny was a babyface and Hangman was, and then Hangman turned heel. Like, we never really got a chance for them to do this, and so, yeah, why not? This is a cool moment, and it's awesome that these fans, like, got to experience. Was it something that you would never think was going to happen tonight? A lot of things you'd be like, hey, what do you think is going to happen tonight? People asking each other in line to get into the building. Nobody thought, how about Hangman and Kenny Omega reunite and hug it out? Nobody thought that. It's a really cool moment to give to the fans. I thought it was really fun. And I love the idea that Don Callis has a stable the likes of which we have not seen in a very long time.
Oh my God, it's stacked.
You know what
man.
I mean? Like, it's completely stacked. He's the market cornered on big dudes who can mess you up. You know what I mean? I love the idea of them having a problem with Jet Speed and Brodito. Sure, we would like the tag titles, and you know, Jet Speed or they're really great, but I don't like Mike Bailey. But also, it's Hangman, and you've got the world title, and I have all of these dudes. So I'm going to pick one of my guys to beat you with the help of all my other dudes. Like, I love the idea that that Don Callis walks into a buffet of baby faces and says, I'll kill them all. I'll take all of those, all of their titles, please. Because he's got the dudes, the hosses to back it up.
Yes.
Wardlow is just standing out there in a suit. Like, he's just a dude who's working security for him. So I think it's excellent, man.
Love it. So
No, Allie, you're missing. No. This is a direct quote from Don Callis. Don Callis doesn't like Mike Bailey.
Yes. Everybody else does. Well, not MVP, but still. Bringing up Cyrus the Virus popped me huge. Another ECW reference there.
Yeah.
Plenty of them. I need to keep a running list of all the Easter eggs. Mm-hmm. Dave Koss says, hey, boys, wanted to say I got chills seeing Hanger and Kenny running moves together, going to collision. Hit me with any prediction on what I'll see. Well, I mean, a very emotional moment with Taz for sure. Yeah. But I think you're going to see some people. I mean, Collision has a lot of like workhorse matches on it in general.
Yeah.
But I think you'll see something akin. You'll probably see some more ECW Easter eggs, especially among some talent who are getting to work there for the first time. That's what I'm anticipating. And also, Hangman and Kenny did hit the V-trigger buckshot. I can't remember what they called it, but that was
cool. I like that.
I mean, to this day.
So funny. Like, they hit it on Lance Archer.
Yeah.
Six foot nine, giant dude.
Yeah, he's big.
Like, he's just a guy who runs interference for everybody else in the Don Callis family. And he's great. And he's like Kenny's working, throwing everybody out of the ring, and here comes Lance Archer to do a choke slam. And Kenny, who stole the baton from Rocky Romero, takes it and doesn't hit him with it. He just slaps away his wrist, which would hurt like hell, and it allows him to be in the perfect position to then do that move to him. I thought it was a really, really well orchestrated little brawl and beatdown. Great stuff.
Arduit says, Hanger and Omega hugged it out. Nature is healing. Indeed. Get your super chats and humper chats in, guys. We want to talk about what you guys want to talk about. If you are here, you're watching on YouTube at all, leave a thumbs up on the video. Can't tell you how important that is.
Yeah.
We have the Mina versus Athena vignette for this weekend. It was good to see some crossover there and just good to see Athena remaining on AEW TV in some capacity. Mm-hmm. Mina and Tony talk about dancing atop the ECW arena like kimono. Tony goes, you broke her poor little hand. How's it feeling now? And then Mina slaps her. We got Athena saying, you know what? You want to dance atop? I'll throw you off of it. This is fun.
Yeah. I think this should be a really fun match on Friday. I don't anticipate Mina beating Athena. That wouldn't make a lot of sense, but they AEW right now has three women who are absolutely entrenched within their own title reigns. And I feel like one of them's got to drop soon just to get some new blood in there, maybe a shorter reign, and then another person follows up. I don't think that these are sustainable I think once you've got, I think they're very fortunate that they've got 10 other women who are going into a Blood and Guts, we think. So that gets them on the show and they're all fantastic. But once that's all sorted, I think we got to find the right people to start building up to take the titles off of at least one of the three, if not two or all three by 2026. Like they've had their amazing reigns. Tony Storm's been a four-time champion. Each other of them are breaking records for as long as they hold the titles. I think it's time to have the right women built up to take the titles off of them.
Well, I'm not expecting Mina Shirakawa to win this weekend, but if you know who's going to win this weekend at Clash in Paris, go over to MyBookieAG. Bet on anything, anywhere, anytime. And right now, get a $50 bonus with a $100 deposit or a $100 bonus with a $200 deposit. But that's not it. You can get a 100% bet back bonus up to $500 for new customers only. There are links in our descriptions everywhere. They've got live casino games, table games. NFL season is 2 weeks away. The MLB season is winding down. We're about to hit the playoffs. WNBA about to hit the playoffs very soon. Before you know it, he got the NBA back. But right now, college football, all that good stuff. This weekend, John Cena is a heavy favorite. Seth Rollins, a monster favorite. Becky Lynch, a big favorite at mybookie.ag. Roman Reigns, a big favorite as well. Any of those surprising you, Alex?
No, not in any way. Those seem like the most very obvious thing. I think that, and I don't know what the lines are right now, but the one
heavy
that actually,
for all those.
Oh, but I'm talking about for the Donnybrook match. For
I was about to mention that, buddy. MyBookie AG has the pretty close lines for pro wrestling. Minus 300 for Rusev. That has moved from minus 180, so he's become a bigger favorite.
Okay.
But still, you can make a little bit of money on that one. And our dude Luis told everybody for AAA Worlds Collide, hey, Triple Mania, bet on Wagner. And a couple people made some money there. So MyBookie AG, please only bet what you can and please bet responsibly, but check them out. They also have great technical support in case you need it. Everything from esports to pro wrestling. MyBookie AG, I am working on getting them to add AEW lines as well. I'm on them every month to do that.
Okay, let's do it.
Tom LaValle says all three ladies should drop before Christmas 2025. I think that once Mercedes loses her championship, the alignment will come into play a lot better. Mm-hmm. I think they should just conveniently ignore that they ever announced a ROH Women's Pure Championship because nobody ever asked for it, mm-hmm. ever. Yeah. And if you do it, just make it the Pure Television Championship or something like that. You don't need three. But the ROH Women's title will be what it is. But I think that, you know, Jade and Mercedes have established a pretty dominant set of champions as TBS champion.
Yeah.
And now that can be like the upper card championship that it was always seeming,
right,
seeming like it was, because they have certainly established that no matter what belts you see on AEW TV, that one that Tony's got is the main one because she's got it and she beats everybody.
Yes.
I want Tekla as champion. I think you will almost certainly see her as a champion in the future. She has translated phenomenally.
Yeah.
The Ops have translated phenomenally as trios champions. I just want to say I love Hob beating the shit out of people, slamming people. Yeah. He really seems to enjoy it.
He does.
Shibata and Ricochet had really good chemistry as well.
Yeah.
But Just Run in LA says the worst thing about the Ops, entrance music. What do you think about their entrance music?
I mean, I don't hate it, but it's not like it doesn't give me the feeling that I want to feel when those guys enter. You know what I mean? Like, here's the thing. I think that individually, those three guys have great themes.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, the Ops, the trios champs, should have a theme when they all come out together. I don't want them coming in separately.
Yeah.
But when Samoa Joe's music hits, you're like, all right, let's go. When Hobbs's music hits, you're like, yeah, you know, like Shibata, like here it comes, man. Like it's like you feel that. But when the Ops music hits, it's like it's not like objectionable. And I'm like, oh, okay. I don't get that feeling for their trio's music.
Well, MVP comes out, helps cause Ricochet to really get his ass whooped. I mean, Ricochet really got it laid into him there. And then the Hurt Syndicate comes out after Ricochet and GOA lose, which, I mean, I thought Ricochet and GOA were going to end up winning those trios titles down the line.
Down the line, I think it's still a possibility.
Sure.
But when they announced this match, I was like, so the Hurt Syndicate comes and gets revenge on them. Like, sure. It just kind of is the obvious thing to do. The fact that it was MVP who wasn't there at Forbidden Door, and what he did was just come up behind Ricochet on the top rope, hit him between the shoulder blades really hard with that cane of his, and that was what led to it. But I thought the match was great I thought there was Hobbs and Leona were doing really great.
Yeah, they were. Like, this show had a lot of meat on it.
Yeah, there was some meat on this show. It was, this was great. I think that the Ops eventually losing to Ricochet, and GOA, I think could easily be the play. But right now, obviously, GOA and Ricochet have to deal with the Hurt Syndicate situation that they created, because there was no heat between them until they decided to do that. I also loved that the first thing I thought of when it happened was Ricochet is aligned with MJF, yeah, who obviously put them up to it because he was getting revenge on them for them kicking him out of the Hurt Syndicate. But yeah, then Ricochet did this really great little backstage thing where all he did was put his phone up to the camera and showed that time where they were like, grabbed him by the face. It was like, nobody likes a kiss ass, and tore up the business card and tossed him out of the ring. It was like, that's why. He's held that grudge since when? Like October? Like, it's been a long time. I love that was been boiling within him for that long. Loved it.
This was really, I think, a great example of the Ricochet character, who is like, the reason he turned heel was because he was getting picked on pretty much, which I really liked. So I'm excited about this story. Brian Morrell, and obviously FightfulSelect.com, you boys, reported that Hurt Syndicate wanted to work with GOA. Like, they wanted to.
Yeah.
Brian more or less says, is Cedric under contract with TNA? Because this could be a good way to bring him in to even the odds. I agree. I have not heard that he is. When I've asked, I have not been heard. I have not been told that. Usually I can pretty well find out if somebody's under contract in TNA or so.
Yeah.
We had Darby doing a promo where he's painting with his own blood. Tom LaValle says, I heard.
That was a good touch. That was a good touch. Like, just taking the blood from the ear and painting all out.
It's so dope.
And then lighting the painting on fire. I mean, it's very Darby. Let's be honest. It's very, very Darby.
And Vicky was excited to talk about this, but I thought this was a wonderful way to make this type of promo different and highlight that not only is he here, he's wrestling this week, by the way. I thought this was just a really fantastic use of Darby doing a promo, and it felt so much better than all of his other promo work that we've seen him do.
Yeah. It really feels like he, I mean, also like I think there's something with, you know, letting your actual experiences inform the performance. That's something that they teach in acting, to actually draw on the things that within you that you, so like, that's the weird thing about climbing Everest, is that every year people die up there and they just leave the bodies. Like, you can't bring them back down the mountain. So they just leave them there. And when he mentioned, like, they told me, do not set foot on this mountain unless you are prepared to die to summit it. And then he looked around and saw all the people that did, and it made him more than usual. Because let's be honest, Darby is the most YOLO guy that's ever walked the face of the earth. But even more so, now he's like, nothing is guaranteed. No day is promised to you. So yeah, let's do it. Let's absolutely go. So when he delivered that part of the monologue, you could tell he was drawing on that experience from within him, where he actually saw the people who didn't make it. Like, that's got to be a really sobering thing for people who are climbing that mountain. I thought that the promo was really, really well done. Really well shot, edited. The fact that they perfectly timed the flames to crawl up the wall and he raised his arms, that was really cinema. That's what that was.
Vicky is getting emotional over you putting over anything involving Darby. I heard Darby apologize to Alex in the promo. Yeah, because he says that those of you that hope that I died in Everest, I apologize. Alex has ever said
that. I didn't hope that he died. Minor frostbite. That was what I was looking for.
Well, listen, if Everest didn't kill him, Claudio damn sure was trying.
Claudio tried his damnedest.
This is insane. So first off, I've never seen a slam through a TV before.
Yeah, that
was but crazy. We did here. And that's like the seventh biggest spot of this match.
Yeah.
There was he put Darby in a shopping cart.
Yes, he did.
Oh my god. Like and then there was a swing into the barricade, but the most unbelievable one was the body slam over the top rope onto the table. And it was just boom.
Yeah.
It was just filthy. A very clear ode to Bam Bam Bigelow and Spike Dudley. It's just Darby was like, I would like it if perhaps nobody caught me. How about that one for a change?
Perhaps the table should break my fall and nothing else. And when I saw this, I was thinking, fantastic spot. Perfect guys to do it. And then I thought to myself, watching Heatwave over the weekend, that I think that Oba and Javon are destined to do this forever. Like, as long as WWE will let them. They're both so young. They're both perfect dance partners for each other. And that is the type of spot they would try to replicate if anybody would let them. So what I'm going to say is, Oba Femi, Javon Evans, balls in your court. Because that is the kind of thing, like, that was crazy. This was crazy. And also, it is the thing about, and it's not just Darby, and it's not just AEW. I'm not a big fan of the guy who's the biggest and the strongest. Putting the smaller opponent through hell for 90% of the match. And then three moves get done to them and they lose. I've never been a big fan of that. Like, I don't know why we were booking Claudio like a glass cannon. Like, where he can dish out all this punishment, but if he takes a couple of hits, he just shatters. And, like, that shouldn't be Claudio to me. So I don't love the finish, but obviously Darby's got to go over. He's going through the Death Riders to get to Moxley it all out. I mean, Darby
calling Claudio a glass cannon would actually be a great insult. So also Darby scaled one of the poles.
Yes.
And I've seen him do that spot in person. Yes, he did. 2017 at Evolve in San Antonio. Yeah. I saw that. We also have a couple more super chats. James Stalling says, how would you bring Orange Cassidy back? # excited. So, I believe it was Body Slam that reported today that he was cleared. I had heard, like, when I found out that Ospreay and Swerve were going to be missing some time, somebody there said, well, we're getting Orange Cassidy back sooner than later, which is good news because that could have been like a fall type of thing.
Yeah.
I think it's also time for a bit of a reinvention of sorts for Orange Cassidy. Not completely, but something. But how would you bring him back?
The thing that I pitched during the Forbidden Door review was like finding a really great dance partner for Kyle Fletcher and how Orange Cassidy could be a really great foil for Kyle Fletcher. Because Kyle Fletcher is a guy who does not cotton to nonsense. And, you know, there's Orange Cassidy, who we've seen both be the guy who does nonsense and also be a tremendous wrestler. And I think that you absolutely believe that Orange Cassidy is the type of guy who would win a championship, but you don't believe he'll beat Kyle Fletcher. But you need a guy who's not just a guy there to lose to Kyle Fletcher, but a guy to push Kyle Fletcher to a different part of his reign. And I don't know if it's now, but I would love to see a really good lengthy feud between Orange Cassidy and Kyle Fletcher. I think that would be excellent.
Gabe Kidd also appeared. They clearly are setting up a match there. James Stallings says, Gabe Kidd, Darby Allin. Yes, please. I mean, listen, Gabe Kidd will beat the tar out of him too. It'll be very, very violent. Spot
off the top of the cage. Like, I feel like this is a thing we're going to be doing for a while. Darby and Gabe, just fight each other like a lot.
In Simmons says, I wonder who wins this feud. Personally, I think Ricochet and GOA should win. Hurt Syndicate won't look bad losing this feud. And Ricochet has been a great team player for company GOA as well. I think Hurt Syndicate will want to win this feud.
I mean, that's certainly the rep that they've created. But
gratefully so, based on what we've seen.
Well, yeah, no, like, yeah. Listen, I was the guy who was like, I don't think you need to take the titles off of Hurt Syndicate.
My thing is, I don't dislike their booking. Like, I think it's good to have a big badass monster team like that.
I mean, like, here's the thing, like, Bobby Lashley, just look at him. He's carved out of granite. He doesn't move like he used to, but I mean, he's getting up there. Shelton Benjamin, I just want to watch Shelton Benjamin wrestle more. And yes, if them not being the champion leads to him wrestling more matches, then I'm all for it. Like, we have to. Tony Khan, please, you know what you're doing here, right? We have to get a great 15-minute singles match between Shelton Benjamin and Ricochet out of this. Like, that's some dream match type stuff. The idea that Shelton Benjamin, a guy who I watched in a certain era of my wrestling fandom and said, this guy's amazing. I've never seen an athlete like this. And then about 10 years later, I saw Prince Puma and Lucha Underground and said, this guy's amazing. I've never seen an athlete like this. And then 10 years after that, in completely different eras of their careers, in a promotion that did not exist 10 years ago, could fight each other. I mean, that's right. That's one of those things. This is one of these things. Shut up and take my money.
Lupunky Vice says, Hurt Syndicate is my mom's favorite tag team. They're a great tag team. I like them being dominant, but eventually there has to be someone that I think like soundly beats them. Yeah. If they're going to go over everybody, that's the way that always needs to go. Yeah. Guys, please leave a thumbs up on this video. I can't tell you how important that is. I'm going to drop a video Thursday or Friday. Mm-hmm. That Alex will love.
Oh, I can't wait.
Are you ready for this thumbnail, Alex?
Well, please give it to me. I want to.
I'm gonna reveal it to you right here. Let me allow it to upload.
Here we go.
Damn, I'm trying to download it right now. What the hell? There we go. Oh, this is gonna be fun. My Fightful Studios video. Chris Jericho still has a major run left in him.
I mean, yeah, you're probably right.
But here's the reality, Alex.
Uh-huh.
Here's the swerve.
Yeah.
What if he has 4 runs left in him?
What does that mean?
Tune into Fightful and find out. You can also subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. Our tier 2, the $10 a month, I always put our interviews up there early and these videos, Fightful Presents, all that type of stuff is up there early. Irene says, I can't wait. These people. Please, no. Guys, y'all are going to watch this video and you're going to be like, God damn it, guys. They're going to do this. They're going to do this. Irene says, have OC return to save Stat from joining. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Irene.
That'd be really good. From
joining the Death Riders. I need to stop exclaiming that it's a great idea for audio listeners before I read it. Have her seemingly on the brink of helping Mox cheat to win a match. Then the Pixies hit. Yes, please, the Pixies. Yeah. I do not like the Jefferson Starship one. Don't want any of that.
That's one of my favorite songs.
I hate it. Don't like it. I mean, listen, I understand because Wet Hot American Summer is what the character's based off of, and it's a theme for Wet Hot American Summer.
Yeah.
What do you like Wet Hot American Summer, Alex?
Yeah, sure.
I wasn't sure if it followed the rules of comedy.
It does.
For you.
It does. Honestly, it does.
I watched Airplane last night. It was okay. And? It was okay. It was there. I will say this.
It was okay.
It wasn't like listen to you.
Hot Rod, one of the greatest comedies of all time. Airplane. Yeah. Okay.
Airplane was all right. All right, listen. Julie Haggerty was such a beautiful woman, though. What a funny actress she was.
Yes.
But there were numerous things in this movie where I went, out loud like that. Yeah. That's good. Airplane was okay. It was okay.
Yeah.
Listen, I'll tell you what it wasn't. It wasn't How High starring Redman and Method Man, but. So, Alex, when I was a teenager, that was one of the only DVDs I had.
Uh-huh.
And I thought that was the funniest shit. Probably because I didn't own, like, any DVDs, right?
Yeah.
I had my wife watch it with me, like, 10 years later, and I apologized to her during the movie.
Yeah.
It was so bad.
Yeah.
It was really bad. Do you know the premise of this movie?
The How High one?
Yeah.
You explained it to me once, and I immediately said no.
It's brilliant. It's brilliant. Method Man and his close friend smoke weed together.
Yes, that's right.
And Method Man is going nowhere in life.
Yes.
He just grows weed all day, and his friend is smoking the weed, and his dreadlocks catch on fire, and he burns alive and dies. So in order to honor his friend, he mashes up his ashes and grows weed with the ashes.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he smokes the weed, he can see his dead friend.
Yes.
And his dead friend helps him get into Harvard, as well as just some guy that he met, which ends up being Redman.
Okay.
that's the movie. And like a bunch of the cast ended up just going and working for MTV's Punk'd, which I think I told you was originally a pitch for Redman and Method Man.
Yes, it was. It was.
And then they just gave it to Ashton Kutcher.
They gave it to Ashton Kutcher because, well.
I don't know. Yeah. How do you find these abominations of cinema? How did you not know about that? Like, if you watched MTV back then, you saw commercials for How High. Like, it was all over the place. Like, the movie made $30 million. It was a financial success, this movie. What are you talking about? How did I find it? Mm-hmm. How did I find it?
Yeah.
They marketed it well. Yeah, Fred Willard was in that movie.
Well,
I'm not going to watch a Fred Willard.
Yeah.
A Fred Willard classic.
You had to watch his entire catalog. His filmography.
Lark Voorhees was in that movie.
Yeah.
Lisa Turtle herself.
Yes.
Spalding Gray was in that movie.
Wow.
Please leave a thumbs up on this video. We would greatly appreciate it. Alex, tell the people where they can find you.
You can find me over on Fightful Select. We're going to be reviewing the Clash in Paris on Sunday. So we'll see how Clashful it is. Then also, you know, on Fridays we do the SmackDown review, and Mondays we do the Raw review. Mondays Raw views with Kate. Also with Kate on this very YouTube channel. On Tuesdays we review NXT as well. They are moving toward their big homecoming show where they're going to do a show in Full Sail on the 16th of September. So that should be a lot of fun there.
Alex, what else are you reviewing next month?
Well, next month we'll be reviewing according to Sean, the cinematic classic, Freddy Got Fingered, starring Tom Green, featuring sausages and Rip Torn's bare behind.
A thing that I am particularly excited about is Tom Green is known to watch reviews of Freddy Got Fingered.
All right.
Are you familiar with the other Tom Green, the one that does WCW Deep Cuts?
Yes. Oh, I love WCW Deep Cuts is high quality content.
Big shout out to Not That Tom Green.
Not That Tom
Green. That's his handle, dude. Not That Tom Green, who does phenomenal content. But Tom LaValle says, Alex and Kate broke big WWE news on Monday. Paywall.
Yeah, that was only on the review of Raw. We're not commenting on it again, but the beginning, first 15 minutes of the Raw review, very, very important news speculation being broken behind the paywall. So,
thank you all very much. We're out.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.